The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after been growing old? How can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let my voice rise and interweave, by love and hope be set free. To shape in my sermon this joy, this life, the dance of the Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
I'm Rick Bellows, and everything I say might be wrong. It's definitely about a mystery. But I'm honored that Father Derek invited me to preach today. I'm not going to let it go to my head, though, because I know this weekend is one of the easier gigs to get. First, because it's Memorial Day. Need I say more? Memorial Day weekend. Second, because today is Trinity Sunday. We're used to celebrating events in Jesus' life or the life of a saint, but today we celebrate a doctrine. Not an easy task when it comes to a doctrine as nuanced as the Trinity. I know few people care, and one of my professors in seminary told me more heresy is preached on Trinity Sunday than any other day. And that is why it's easy to get invited to preach today.
I love you, Ray.
And I love you. But I love it. I love preaching on this day. I eat it up. Why? Because when properly understood, the Holy Trinity opens us up to know more of God and to experience more of God's love. If we were to go back and look at the Old Testament, we would find there are some hints that God is threefold. The main example is the three people on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. two cities that abandoned the ancient hospitality rules. These three people stopped en route to enjoy the hospitality of Sarah and Abraham. The couple had a growing sense as they fed the visitors that they might be human, or angels of the Lord, or maybe the Lord, God's very self. Then the visitors promised that within the year their hosts would bear a son. Sarah didn't believe it. She laughed. Therefore, the visitors told them to name the child Isaac. That and a few other references including God using the plural to refer to the Lord in the royal we, may in hindsight, in some tiny way, anticipate a notion that developed centuries later into the Trinity. But crediting the Old Testament for understanding the Trinity would be like crediting Ben Franklin with the invention of nuclear power plants. Even the New Testament has no reliable original source that states the doctrine or refers to God as three. There is God the Father, the Word, or God the Son of, or the Son of Man, and the Spirit. But the three are not so much talked about altogether as God, except in later amendations or additions. Some early church theologians used Trinitarian formulas to argue against other theologians or in the church and against Greek philosophers, but usually any formulation would lead to what later would be deemed to be heresy. For example, modalism would be hard to avoid, which overemphasizes the unity of God by saying one God acts in different ways or modes. Or subordinationism, which overemphasizes the unequal importance of the three. The clear understanding of the Trinity was developed to resolve a fight that began in the year 315. It's quite epic. There's empires and kings, emperors, and the good and the bad. Christianity had become legal in the empire just 2 years before, and a very influential priest named Arius started preaching what would be reduced to a protest chant. There was when he was not. Meaning, the Son of God was a creature. The theological fight raged between the Orthodox Christians and the Arians. Arians argued Jesus was only a good pioneer who leads the way, and we must follow. Orthodox argued Jesus was the incarnation of God, whose self-sacrificing ways saves us by opening us to grace and its action in lives. For grace to win out, the Son had to be God. Otherwise, it's all by our own effort and doomed to failure. To resolve this fight, all the bishops of the world, including Patrick from the British Isles, gathered in a city outside Constantinople called Nicaea. From there we get the Nicene Creed. There were the one substance bishops and the like substance bishops. In the end, the bishops agreed that it was the one substance that won the day. They dealt with distinctions by saying the difference between the Son and the Father is covered by they being different persons, but the unity is covered by there being one substance, not like substance. Clearly, it is not just in the 21st century that the church challenges us to think in terms of ambiguity and nuance. They did it in the 4th century, too. But some people wouldn't agree. The fight continued. It seemed to swing back and forth, emperor by emperor, between Arius and his followers, and Orthodox Christian way led by Saint Athanasius, who is depicted in the window, the second window over on the left, in the chapel. The two would take turns in exile and then in triumph. 37 years after the First Council of Nicaea, the Orthodox way was accepted for the Father and the Son. And it was time for the church to tackle the third person of the Trinity. They added the Holy Spirit in the formula, and the three together are one substance, but three persons. That is pretty much where the story of the development of the doctrine of the Trinity ends. Most Christians say they agree with it, but frankly, most ignore it. Islamic people look at the Trinity with horror and see polytheism and heresy. One of the reasons people ignore the Trinity is they don't want or need the judgment of the church. With like, aspect, mode, facet, etc., etc., condemned as heresy, it's harder and harder to talk about God without condemnation. So how can we give the Trinity its proper attention? When I try to understand the Trinity, I say to myself, well, everything I say may be wrong, and it's a great mystery. But I also say, in any act of God, all of God acts. Each person of the Trinity does what they do best. Let's look at the first creation story where God the Father wills everything into existence through the expression of that will. For example, let there be light. And there was light. Meanwhile, the Son expresses that will by giving up God's self. Whatever is necessary to make room for what is called to be, to allow it to emerge and give it life. Notice I said give a couple times in there. The Son is a gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But to make all of it happen, to bring it home, requires the Spirit's touch, too. The Spirit of God hovered over the deep or brooded over the waters. Such a pregnant pause prepares it all to happen, delivers it into reality, and communicates it all to the heart. The Spirit is a delivery system of God's power and grace. So in any act of God, all of God acts. Another more recent example is about Evelyn. Last Sunday, my wife, daughter, and I had dinner with friends down in Charlottesville, Virginia, with friends and their family, which included the husband's mother, Evelyn. I would say she was about 90, give or take. After dinner, she went home and spoke by phone to her other son, telling him what a wonderful time she had with her family, a fine weekend capped by a great dinner. That dinner turned out to be her last supper. After she went to bed, her intestine was blocked and she died within 2 days. Now what? I trust that God has received Evelyn into God's nearer presence or loving embrace. But which person of the Trinity received her? I believe it is the will of the Father to receive Evelyn. I believe it is the Son whose goodness is shared with Evelyn and given to her so she is worthy of being received. And it is the Son who gives her life by sharing God's eternal life with her. I believe it is the Holy Spirit that escorts Evelyn, delivering her into that presence and touches her, so she is aware of the embrace of God and the embrace of love. I wonder if the Holy Spirit also reveals to her the love of her family, commending her and letting her go. I believe that Evelyn cannot do any of this by her own effort. She is, after all, dead. But God can do it, and God has promised that nothing, not even her own death, can separate her from the love of God in Christ Jesus, her Lord. And that really is what it is all about. It's about love. Love is the unifying factor or principle of God. So the Father loves, the Son loves, and the Holy Spirit loves. They love, and so they act. Their actions express their love. They love, and together they are absolute love. Now, I'm about to give homework, and I hope you see it as a sign of my love for you. So your homework this week is to allow an understanding of the Trinity to expand your sense of how God helps you with some task. Pray about it. Let God love you. Let the Father love you. Let the Son love you. Let the Holy Spirit love you. Then think about it. You might think, for example, how God wills you to be well. How does that will get expressed to you? Look for the action of the Son. What does God the Son have to give up to make you well? How is it a gift? How does the Son share divine life with you? Then consider the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit prepare you for wellness? Perhaps you sense peace or expectation. How does the Spirit touch you or move your heart to make you aware that you are well and all shall be well? Look for the will of God the Father, the sacrifice of God through God the Son, and the touch of God, or the tug of God, by the Holy Spirit, and count all of it as God love for you. Amen.